Good morning and welcome to Of Readers Anonymous, A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Leslie W. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is August the 23rd, 2021, and we are reading from the Big Book, page 80, starting with the second paragraph, This Brings to Mind, going through two paragraphs, ending with, How could he possibly make a public statement exonerating his rival? Today's readers are Karen W. on the step, Rhonda R. on the tradition, Sandy K. as our first reader, Shelley E. on page 164, and Barbara W. as our backup today. The reference numbers for yesterday are August 22nd, Sunday's share ID is 17,609. That's 17,609. That's for the special edition from August 22nd. This morning, 7 a.m., that share ID is 17,612. That's this morning's 7 a.m., August 23rd, 7 a.m. meeting, Eastern Time, is 17,612. All right. Of Readers Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Karen W. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning. Good morning. This is Karen W., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me do service, and I'll pass.
Karen? Can you hear me? Rhonda?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Good morning, Leslie. Thank you for your service today. I'm Rhonda R., grateful recovered compulsive eater in Georgia. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you so much for the opportunity to do service today.
Thank you so much, Rhonda. My phone cut out for a minute there. So thank you so much, Karen. And Karen W. and Rhonda R. All right. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. On page 80, second paragraph, beginning with, this brings to mind a story, reading through two paragraphs, ending with, how could he possibly make a public statement exonerating his rival, commenting on both paragraphs. I will now ask Sandy K. to begin reading.
Thank you, Leslie. This is Sandy K. from Florida, a recovered compulsive overeater. This brings to mind a story about one of our friends. While drinking, he accepted a sum of money from a bitterly hated business rival, giving him no receipt for it. He subsequently denied having received the money and used the incident as a basis for discrediting the man. He thus used his own wrongdoing as a means of destroying the reputation of another. In fact, his rival was ruined. He felt that he had done a wrong he could not possibly make right. If he opened that old affair, he was afraid it would destroy the reputation of his partner, disgrace his family, and take away his means of livelihood. What right had he to involve those dependent upon him? How could he possibly make a public statement exonerating his rival? So regarding these two paragraphs, there are a few things that came to mind. Number one is not about the man in question, about his rival and the generosity of his business rival giving him money. Not only did he discredit him, but he discredited someone who went out of the way to give a competitor money. That doesn't normally happen. And obviously it doesn't happen that he then said he never got the money. But what's nice about this is that the person in question the alcoholic paused as opposed to plowed in making amends. He thought about if he made amends, if he ever could, how will that affect the people around him? It says his partner, his family, it could take away his livelihood. So pausing is something that, even though this big book has said that, and I've read this big book as many times as anybody else, it seemed like they just put that word in there recently. So now I'm learning to pause, because I know that if I run my mouth without pausing, I could hurt someone. So I think that was really great that he did pause, and I'm assuming that he also shared what he was going to do with his sponsor. And it took great courage for him later on to exonerate the person who gave him money and put himself in jeopardy. And the reason I have courage today is because there are things I do in program, especially amends, that I do not want to do, and they're not as egregious as this was. So I think about the courage it takes me and the courage that it took him, which is phenomenal. Also, the big book says, you know, you only can recover if you follow these steps. Well, if he didn't follow the steps, he didn't want to recover, and that's how much he wanted to. He decided to push through the fear and make his amends. And with that, I will pass, and I'll wait for other people to share on it.
Thank you so much, Sandy Kay. All right. We are now going to open up the floor for sharing from page 80, second paragraph, beginning with "This brings to mind a story" and ending with "Exonerating his rival." I'd like to remind everyone that that to limit your share to every third day in order that others might share your experience also. All right. Who would like to share on this paragraph or these paragraphs?
Larry G. from California.
Larry. Why don't you go ahead, Larry? We'll take more names after you begin.
CT?
Oh, CT. All right. CT, you'll be after CTT. Larry, okay?
Okay, from Newport.
CT. Gotcha. All right, Larry, go right ahead.
Good morning. This is Larry G. from California. I'm wishing everybody a great Monday. Thank you for your service. You know, I came on this fellowship during the pandemic in May of 2020, and it's done so many things for me, not only am I abstinent and living a life of abstinence that I thought was beyond my grasp, but just studying this book each day, Monday through Friday, it just rekindled my love for the big book. And there's something powerful about just taking one paragraph and breaking it down. I'm passionate about the eighth and ninth step. It's the best. I mean, this is the path less taken. Let's tell the truth here. This does not happen where people consider these things today in our society. I mean, if you look at politics, I mean, it's become a blood sport. It's not only is the end game to win, but also destroy your opponent. And that's what this person did. He destroyed the reputation of another business person in the community. And he's now at his ninth step, ready to do his ninth step, and he's entertaining these questions. These are the questions that all of us entertain when we are about to do an amends. And why I think, personally, it's really important to have somebody who has walked before me. I would not make an amends without my sponsor's help, because of what it says in the doctor's opinion. I don't always know the difference between the truth and the false, especially when I'm dealing with people that I have perceived have wronged me or I've wronged them. I need that clarity, and sponsorship has been really helpful. So for me, it's not a decision of when to make the amends. When is now, but how to make the amends. Some amends it's not a good idea to make them face-to-face. But I had an amends I made to a high school, elementary friend. We are now rekindled our friendship, and I did something that was really hurt that friendship. And for years, we didn't talk, and I did not want to make the amends because I felt he harmed me as well. And I flew to Santa Barbara. I drove a car from Burbank to L.A. We met in a restaurant. And here, these two former football players sitting together, and we're crying like babies because I'm making amends, a heartfelt amends for the harm that I did to him. And he was really hurt by this. But I tell you, I did not go down there. I did not go down there without the help of my sponsor, a script. And I didn't know what I was going to receive. I didn't know if it was going to be generous received or not, but it was, and God directed me, and I have to remind myself, what is their fear? Because I have God in my life. If I believe in a power greater than myself, I have faith in that power myself, then I can do anything. Anyway, thank you for your service, and I pass.
Thanks so much, Larry G. All right, next up I have CT. T. Star 1 CT.
Good morning. This is CT. Sorry, I had trouble
Good
in
morning.
The meeting. Thank you for your sister and your assistant. this is CTT from Southern California. I'm glad that the person who led the paragraph off mentioned the pause, because when she was reading that paragraph, I'm out walking, so I wasn't reading the paragraph with you. I was thinking, gosh, that guy is thinking about himself still, you know. I mean, he's thinking about his family, but he's not thinking about the harm done. And then she said pause, and I was like, oh yeah, we haven't read the rest of the paragraph. I don't know the situation. I get to pause. And so hearing both Larry and I forget the woman's name before helped me understand that, you know, I just don't know anything. And thank goodness for sponsors. And I haven't done anything where I ruined somebody's reputation. However, I did have a situation in the throes of my addiction where a friend of the family hired me. And through time, I just ended up not showing up. And so I'm sure that embarrassed my family. It certainly embarrassed me once I came to program and got some clarity. And so I was at, oddly enough, my father passed away before I got sober. I know this is OA. And my mother remarried several years later, and I was at the wedding, and I had not been able to contact this family that had hired me. And they were there at the wedding. And I was like, oh my God, do I do it here at the wedding? Is this appropriate? You know, this is about my mom and her husband, her new husband, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so I called my sponsor. I'm like, please help me. And she goes, well, you know, God's timing is always perfect. If you can find them, go do it. And I could not find them. And so I had to put it on hold again. But because of that, I was able to get connected back with them and make that amends and clear that up. And they were very gracious about it. But it was a tough amend. I have also had amends where, like Larry, old-time friend of 18 years, I had to make an amends. And she was not happy with my amends. And it took 18 years of me being in recovery for that amend to amend. And we're very good friends now, but it took a long time. And during that 18 years after I made the amend, I would go to my sponsor, like when I'm redoing a four-step or whatever, and say, maybe I didn't do it right, or I need to redo it. And she'd say, trust the process, trust God. And if it wasn't for sponsorship, I probably could have messed things up. Additionally, on that amend by going back and pushing my will on someone else once again. I'm really grateful for the steps. I'm grateful that the people who guided us through this, Bill and Bob, knew that we needed to have some sort of sponsorship, even though at that point when they were writing the book, there probably wasn't a lot of people who were sober, and there wasn't a lot of people to choose from to be sober. And today that's not the case, and I'm very grateful. Thanks, for everybody, for your service. Have a wonderful Monday.
Thank you, CTT. All right, we're going to take a new list of names. We are on page 80, beginning with the second paragraph. This brings to mind ending, going through two paragraphs, ending with exonerating his rival. Who would like to share?
Margo in Northern Nevada.
Okay, I got Margo. I think it's Margo M.
Margo M. from Northern Nevada.
Okay.
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Donna B.
Donna B. Let's go with you, Margo. Let's start with you, Margo M, and then followed by Deborah G. Anybody else before we?
Yeah, Kathleen B.
Okay.
Noel E.
B. Noel. Okay. Kathleen B. Noel E. All right. Here's who I have: Margo M, Deborah G, Donna B, Kathleen B, Noel E. All right, go ahead, Margo.
Good morning, everyone. This is Margo M, compulsive overeater from Northern Nevada. And this paragraph reminds me of an amends I made to my nephew. In 2009, my sister had died of an overdose, and I was really angry with her. But, you know, going through her stuff, I came across some money in her pockets that she might have, you know, had for some purpose I didn't know of, but intended for my nephew. And at that time, going through her stuff, I felt justified taking that money because she died and she left my nephew in my care. And I was really angry with her. So I took that money thinking that that money could go towards funeral expenses or something that he needed, whatever it was. I had no right to take that money. And you know, years later, as I started going through the steps first time with my sponsor, you know, that came up and it was really on my heart for a really long time. And we worked together on how to make an amends to first my sister. You know, although she wasn't around, I did make an amends to her. And then, you know, this is 2009, so my nephew was probably like, you know, 17 now. I went to him and I sat him down. And I don't know if he fully understood or not, but I sat him down and I made an amends to him, and I made restitution to him too. I gave him that money plus interest that I felt he could have, you know, he probably should have on that money that we worked, you know, that I worked out with my sponsor. And it was because of her guidance that and my higher power's guidance that gave me the courage to do that. Cause I just didn't know then. And I worked through the anger that I had with her, and you know, I did find peace finally with her and with him when I did pay back that money, and that's all I wanted to share. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Margo. Okay, next I have Deborah G, followed by Donna B.
Hi, this is Deborah G from Arizona, and thank you so much for sharing, everyone that's made this meeting possible, and Sandy for starting us off. And something that came up for me was, you know, where's the spiritual condition here in all this? And it doesn't sound like there was any spiritual condition in the beginning to be doing that kind of behavior at the start. So there's an, like, so I learned that when I'm out of alignment, you know, with that loving presence, that sunlight of the spirit, that creator, all that beautiful experience going on with presence, with that, and their power, is that I start, my behavior gets off, and my thinking gets off, my behavior gets off. You know, it's just interesting to watch that in myself, where when I get off track, what my behavior does, how are my feet moving. And so in looking at this, you know, selfish self-centeredness. Someone even said that, self. And so I have to look at, well, how free, you know, do I want to be? And I want to get back. I need to stay in that alignment, because I know for me that if I don't stay in that alignment with myself, with that presence, that power, and with others, then there's a good chance I'm going to go to the food, because I'm going to be in ease and wanting ease and comfort from the food because of this stress I'm feeling within the emotional disturbance. So, and if I hold on and not make an amends, I'm going to stay in that emotional disturbance and not in alignment. And so being willing, and I love what was shared about, you know, I have my sponsor, I have people in my life today that can help me with amends and how to do it and going to any length to do it for that freedom, you know, for that abstinence, for this life that I have, and for this beautiful connectedness that I have that is just beautiful, where my life just flows, walking hand in hand in the sunlight of the spirit with that loving power presence. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Deborah G. Next up, Donna B., followed by Kathleen B.
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver. In reading these two paragraphs and listening to the shares, I sort of was thinking on the lines of financial amends, but also this thing about ruining the reputation of other people. And it really made me pause and think about my relationship with my mother, especially. She was not the mother that I wanted and did not treat me the way that I wanted to be treated. And over the years, I have taken advantage of every opportunity possible to ruin her reputation. It has been really important in my story to present myself as a person who is an adult child who came from an abusive background, and to talk about the history of my family and how that affected me. And in doing so, I have definitely hurt the reputation of my mom with no regret, really. And it reminds me of a story, a sort of a fable, that there was a man who was speaking poorly about another, and he went to the town's wise person and said, "How can I fix this?" And the town's wise person said, to get a feather pillow, and to cut the pillow open and to let all the feathers blow away. So he did that. And then he came back to the town's wise man and he said, I cut the pillow open, I let all the feathers out, now what do I do? And he said, you have to go collect all the feathers. And the man said, but that's impossible. I can't possibly do that. And that's exactly the point, is that once the words, like the feathers, have been distributed all over the place, they are impossible to collect back. And so it really does take the creativity of either a sponsor or a fellow or my higher power to give me direction in making right something which is inherently very difficult to make right. To restore a person's reputation that has been destroyed. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Donna B. Next up, I have Kathleen B., followed by Noelle E.
Hi, this is Kathleen B. in beautiful Boise, Idaho. I am a recovering compulsive overeater. I think the thing that really jumped out at me with this reading was, for me, how often when something goes wrong, especially if, you know, somebody does something that disappoints me or that I think isn't, you know, in line with what I think should be happening, how often I get into fear and just flap about, you know, like I'll have conversations, I'll call my best friend, I'll call my husband, I'll talk to my oldest daughter, I'll talk to another friend. Can you believe this? I can't believe this is happening. Ba 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 ba. Right? And I realized that, you know, somebody, that was sort of, in addition to food, that's kind of one of the ways that I look for comfort and ease, right? Looking for reassurance that I'm right and that I'm looking at this right. And, you know, I recently had an example where I had a hearing test and I've been struggling with my hearing and the doctor said, well, I think you're okay and I'll see you in 5 years. And I'm just railing to everybody who will listen. I can't believe, blah, 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 blah. And I realized that's the same thing, right? That's me saying, I know better than this man who has a, you know, doctor's degree, you know. It's like, so I it was just kind of eye-opening for me today, and that's all I wanted to share, is how quickly fear leads to behaviors that are not helpful. So thank you for letting me share, and thank you for all of your service.
Thank you so much, Kathleen B. from Idaho. Noel E., you're up, and then we'll take a new list.
Hi, this is Noelle E. from Louisiana, recovering compulsive overeater. Thank you for everybody's service on this line. It's so powerful. What's coming up for me reading this and also hearing everybody share has really brought it into focus is that that was like the last person shared. That was my main gear, was basically talking against people's reputation, even if it was in what was like masked as compassion. You know, if someone was going through a difficult time or whatever, it was me saying, you know, let's pray for them, but then also, you know, they are this way and, you know, they have all these flaws. And it was just this constant effort to keep myself from looking at myself. So, and I have really, I'm really standing alone here because I've done it to so many people in my life. And I just, you know, other than that, I just want to say to anybody on the line, in the steps, not on this step. I mean, I love this meeting, but it is, when you're not in the step that you're talking about, it does make my, you know, my face hot. My cheeks are red right now because it's just like, yikes. And so I'm in a different place in step work, and I just want anybody listening to this thinking, how will that ever get there? I know that that's not the step I'm at. These steps are in order for a reason. And I'm going to hear this morning as God saying, you know, I'm here the whole time. I'm here when you get to this step, and I'm here right now with you at the step you're at. So higher power is so good, and it shows us exactly what we need to see when we need to see it. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Noelle E. So we're going to take a new list of names. We are reading on page 80. With the second paragraph beginning with, this brings to mind a story about one of our friends, and going through two paragraphs ending with, how could he possibly make a public statement? Who would like to share?
Nancy L.
Nancy.
Mary G.
Mary G.
Patricia C.
Patricia. Okay, let's start with you, Nancy L. I have Nancy L., Mary G., and Patricia C. Go ahead, Nancy.
This is Nancy L., recovered in LaGrange, Georgia. My situation is almost like this, but in some ways very different. I grew up in a very religious but abusive family and was abused by a couple of members of that family, and grew into this person who felt like if I didn't honor these people who had abused me, that I was in the wrong. And I had some very dire emotional hang-ups, I guess, from that, and went for counseling, at which time my counselor heard of how one member of the family had abused me and called that person a religious witch. And I said, you can't do that. You can't. He said, oh, yes, I can do that. It was like my freedom came when I was able to say what that person did was really wrong. I didn't deserve it, and what they did damaged me. But then I went on another tirade of telling that story over and over, and each time I told it, it was like I was damaging the reputation of that person who had abused me to make myself look a little bit better. And I found a payoff with talking about that. And I've come to realize through my work at the 12 Steps and listening to all my recovering friends that I don't need to do that anymore. I don't need to get a payoff about making somebody else look bad or damaging their reputation to make myself look better. Today, I just look at that person as having the same human condition that I have. We're not perfect. We all have our goods and our bad points. And so today, I no longer try to hurt that reputation of that person, but I no longer take the responsibility of having to ignore or pretend as if the abuse didn't happen. So I've made some real recovery steps in that direction. But I don't want to destroy anybody's reputation, but I don't want to accept that I deserve any kind of abuse either. So I want to live in a healthy, wholesome, peaceful atmosphere as much as I can and as much as the 12 steps allows me through working the steps. Today I can do that. So I thank you for letting me share, and I hope everyone has a wonderful day. And thank you for your service here. I pass.
Thank you so much, Nancy L. from Georgia. All right, next up I have Mary G.
Good morning. This is Mary G. from Mesa, Arizona, and thank you all for your service today. These paragraphs just really hit me in the sense of ruining reputations, or in my case, it was ruining a friendship. I had shared a very private, personal thing with somebody that I worked with who was kind of like the secretary to my boss, and I, you know, told her I would be telling my boss, you know, in a couple of weeks or whatever. I just hadn't had the time yet or didn't really want to do it yet, And when I went in to tell my boss that this personal thing, my boss already knew. He said, oh, I heard rumors of that, but I wasn't sure if it was true. And I was so upset. And I said to him, was it so-and-so? And he denied it. He said, no, it wasn't her. And I just thought, well, he's just protecting her. You know, it's not the truth. And so I went out and confronted this woman who was my friend. And I said, you know, did you tell? And she said, no, I did not. I didn't tell. And I didn't believe her. Well, fast forward 7 years, and I'm getting my hair cut from my same hairdresser that I had at that time. And he mentions, you know, this event that happened. And he mentions what had happened. He says, oh, yeah, I remember telling my sister, and my sister couldn't believe it. And I was like, oh, my gosh. His sister was the one who told my boss. They were friends. And I cannot tell you how horrible I felt. But being in program, I talked to my sponsor. I made out my amends. I called this woman who graciously, allowed me to come and make an amends to her. And she accepted my amends. And, you know, she said, I hope, you know, our relationship can be healed. Unfortunately, it was not healed. It was not. I tried to get back, you know, in touch or whatever, but I think the damage had been so severe because I just cut her off like nothing. And I realized that my, you know, talking about things was, you know, at the root of all the problem. You know, it was my character defect of, you know, wanting to let people know this information before anyone else. You know, that I didn't take responsibility of telling my boss first. And, you know, it's something that I do regret. I miss that friendship, and I was sorry that I lost it. But at the same time, I know that I live differently today. I try not to share what is not anyone else's business so that I don't have to put anyone else in this position. And I also did not pause. And that pause is so huge to really pray. And maybe if I had prayed, you know, I would have had the light to see that this wasn't the truth before just reacting to this woman. So with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mary Jean. All right, up next I have Patricia C.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh. Patricia C. Hi. And I am in Raleigh, North Carolina. And I don't really have a whole lot to share. I just don't often have a chance to share on the live meeting. And so I just felt like it was a good opportunity. But I will say that this is, I've been recovered for about a year now. And it's been really interesting to me because at the time I did all my amends as I thought they should be done. And I prayed about it. So it wasn't just like on my own. But anyway, sorry, I'm outside in their yard listing happening. But anyway, so I prayed about it and thought about it and tried to do what felt right at the time. And, you know, and I got a lot of peace from it. But as I'm listening to all these shares these last few weeks about step nine, I'm realizing that there are some things that I still have to do. I have a list of like 6 new amends that I didn't realize I had to make. And some of those are what we're talking about today, talking about other people, and especially these two people in my life who I have the hardest time not saying bad things about because I have to constantly interact with them, and that's not really a choice that I have. And so there's always new things that come up, and I do my 10 steps on it, but I have family and friends who really don't like these people, and I can't control how they feel about them, you know. I mean, I've forgiven them, and I have to forgive them every day again. But when other people talk about them, it's so easy just to slip into this slanderous, yeah, I know, they're such jerks, and all these nasty things that I can say. And so I really have to work on that. And I'm just so grateful for all of the shares this morning of people talking about how they've made amends or talking about people and damages that have been done, but also the healing that has happened. but also being able to let go if healing can't happen on their end, at least it will on mine. So anyway, just thankful to be here, and thank you for all of you guys. Bye.
Thank you so much, Patricia. See, we have time for one or two shares if anybody else wants to get in before we close today. Page 80.
Kathleen Wall. Okay.
Rachel. I think I heard. Yep, I heard Rachel and I heard Kathleen. All right, go ahead, Rachel, followed by Kathleen.
Hi, my name is Rachel M. From Florida. I'm a compulsive overreader. And I've been in the program for a year now, and I relate to the last share from Patricia. I wanted to say the same thing. I worked my steps a year ago, and now listening to all the shares about, I mean, from the last 3 weeks, I'm realizing I have probably new resentment cropping up. And it's amazing to listen to everybody and just realizing that the work is never done. And so it just gives me a lot of courage and hope. And I wanted to say also thank you so much for this line. It's just saving my life every day. And I wanted to thank you all for your service. And I'm so, so grateful. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Rachel M. Okay, Kathleen W.
Hi, this is Kathleen W. from Illinois. I'm just claiming my seat today. I haven't shared in this meeting for quite a long time. And as I just wanted to say that, you know, this, what we've been reading is, it's about people who are willing to go to any length to clean up their side of the street, to become clear and to get closer to their higher power and to their mission in life. So it's been very encouraging to me. It's infused me with courage to look at my behavior and where do I need to clean up my side. And just recently I made an amends to my hairdresser. She fired me as a client. And part of it was, you know, I attributed to her one of the, you know, a problem that she has. And part of it was that, you know, part of it was her. But there was also past behavior that I had done and which affected her in our relationship. And so I made an amends, including, you know, monetary amends. I offered it, which she refused. But in my telling of the story, you know, I discredit her as in saying, you know, she has this problem and, you know, that's why she fired me. But, you know, in telling that story, I am still, even after making an amends, I am discrediting her because I'm ashamed of being fired by somebody. And so I saw that today. I looked at it and I just, you know, said, God, you know, forgive me. And I see it and help me. It's in the telling of the story, you know, where I've gone off even after my amends. So I'm so grateful for this fellowship, and that's all I have to share. Thank you so much for your shares.
And all right. Thank you so much. Thank you, Kathleen W. Okay, we will now close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Shelley E. please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, ma'am. Good morning, Leslie. Good morning, my fellows. I'm Shelley E., a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater, presently in Petoskey, Michigan. Page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows.
clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then, I pass.